Welcome to the Knit More Girls podcast, a mother-daughter knitting production. This is episode 72 and has been sponsored by Abstract Fiber and Pearlescence Yarns. This week's segments include On the Needles,
Events,
A Contest,
Mother Knows Best,
When Knitting Attacks,
Review,
and Straw into Gold. Come on, let's chat. Welcome, welcome. If this is your first time listening, welcome to the podcast. And if you're a returning listener, welcome back. Hey, Mom, how's it going?
Hey, lovey, how are you?
I'm very well. How about yourself?
I'm okay, too.
Cool. Well, let's talk about some knitting then.
Very good. What are you working on?
I finished something this week.
You did?
I did. I finished my Ariane. Now, if you recall, this is a sweater by Bonne Marie Burns,
mm-hmm.
and she is the designer at Chic Knits, and I really like her stuff.
Yeah, her stuff is elegant and classic and really well thought out.
It is, and the patterns are really well written as well. This one in specific is a lace, like, it's got a chevron lace pattern,
mm-hmm.
and it's just really lovely, and I tried it on last night after I bound off the collar and pranced around the living room. Of course, the underarms aren't sewn yet, and the buttons aren't on it, but, you know, it's done, and we found the perfect buttons for it.
We did.
Which was, you know, not devoid of drama, of course. So it turns out Mom and I went adventuring with Erin, who hosts Brass Needles, and we went out and were looking for buttons, and I thought, okay, maybe I'll pick some up at Rhinebeck, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to have an open sweater until I find it. Does that make sense? Like, I wanted something to close the sweater with?
Yeah.
So we go to Joanne's because it's closer to our house than the place where we got the buttons for the Tangled Yoke.
Mm-hmm.
And the place that we got the buttons from for the Tangled Yoke was closing in like 15 minutes. There's no way we'd get there in time for them, first of all, not to be closed.
Mm-hmm.
And never mind having to look for buttons, which is, it takes time to find the right buttons, you know?
Of course it does.
So we go in and we walk around, and apparently Joanne's is carrying this new kind of button, like really kind of cool buttons.
Yeah, they have a whole bunch of really interesting buttons.
And I think they're by Dritz. And we ended up tripping over these kind of, they're either fake wood or they're just a really, really light wood,
mm-hmm.
but they were painted the perfect shade of orange, and they mm-hmm. were pentagonal, which is an unusual shape for buttons, right?
Very unusual.
And they're not exactly, like, evenly pentagonal, so they're kind of fun and kind of artsy, but exactly the right color. So I found three on the shelf, and I need four.
Mm-hmm.
So I walked over to the register and said, is there a fourth one or do I need to go somewhere else? And they said, oh, we only order these buttons in threes.
Okay.
This would be the third time that I wanted to buy buttons at Joann's and had to go to more than one Joann's to get enough buttons for my project.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, but they're so big.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. So anyway, buttons have been purchased. They're mm-hmm. all in one place. And do you want to talk about, just give them a sneak peek of what you're going to talk about, Mother Knows Best? Or do you want to make them wait?
We also bought ribbon. Oh,
we did.
And ribbon for the button band.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about that in
Mother Knows Best.
And we got backing buttons.
Yeah.
And matching thread.
Yep. Which is always a good idea.
It is. When you come home and you don't have matching thread, you feel less than intelligent.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So I'm really pleased to have pulled that out of my UFO basket, ripped mm-hmm. out what I'd knit, and actually finished it in a reasonable amount of time.
Yeah, that was potato chip knitting, wasn't it?
It was, and I think it's going to come to Rhinebeck with me.
Excellent. Then I better get on it, don't I?
Ah, absolutely. What are you working on?
I finished my blue-brown vanilla socks with the Channel Island Caston from Regia.
Cool.
And I cast on the next one, and that got done, so the whole pair is done.
Yay!
That went very fast. And I had the bind-off row to do on Brenda Petipa's
On the Vine.
On the Vine that I'm knitting out of Buffalo Girls.
Mm-hmm.
And that is going to look really good on me this fall. It's sort of like a spiral.
Mm-hmm.
If you tried to put it flat, one round would stack on top of the other.
How beautiful is that going to look in your drawers?
Yeah, and I'm thinking it'll look even better on my neck.
That too.
And I really like the leaf border that goes around it, and it's all short road. And it was an interesting knit.
I think I have some of the Buffalo Gals in orange, like fall leaf orange. I think I might have to do one.
You may, because it's interesting, and you're really good with short rows and stuff.
What did you like about knitting it, specifically? What made it interesting?
The leaves on the edge.
Okay.
And it's short rows, so you have less stitches on the inside, close to your neck, than you have going out on the outside. So that's why you have these.
The spiraling.
The spiraling. So it's more than 360 degrees.
Cool.
It's like 360 degrees times 7, 8, 9 times.
Cool.
Yes. So it's very interesting. What else are you working on?
So I've evidently been like on an UFO kick, right? So last night when I bound off my collar and pranced, when I was done prancing around the living room, of course, I went into my back room and into my UFO boxes of shame and pulled out another sweater that I...
Not UFO boxes of shame. It's your hope chest. Your knitting hope chest. Oh, you dear. Hope to finish it.
So I went in and I was thinking about it and I thought, oh, because I'd gone through my Ravelry queue looking for the next thing to knit. And I saw the Henley Perfected. Now, if you've been listening for a really, really, really long time, then I think I've talked about this before. Because I'm knitting it out of the Elizabeth Levold Silky Wool, which is 65% wool, 35% silk, and it's got kind of a crunchy hand to it.
It looks very much like tweed.
It is a tweed, and I really like it because it's a pale blue tweed, which apparently I only knit sweaters in like three colors, and pale blue is one of them. So I just finished the thing a while ago, the Katerina, and there's this one. So Katerina is in worsted. This is in sport, and I've apparently got a chunky pale blue sweater as well in my hope chests. So... apparently, I like pale blue.
I gathered.
So, it's a really lovely color. I actually bought the yarn on my honeymoon at Acorn Street Yarns in Seattle, Washington. Yep. And I started this months and months and months and months, maybe over a year ago. This isn't the oldest thing I've got sitting in the boxes, but it's not the newest either.
So, it marinated in your stash for 3 years?
No, not three. Maybe two. Because I was working at my current place when I started it. So, anyway... so I pulled it out because I saw it in my queue again, and I went, oh, I should finish that because it's fitted. It's got the interesting yoke and the sleeves. And then here's where the crazy voice kicks in. Maybe you can get this one done by Rhinebeck too.
Yeah, that definitely was the crazy voice.
Right?
What is the weight of the yarn?
It's a sport weight, and I'm knitting Rhinebeck it on fours.
Rhinebeck is in...
a week and a half.
A week and a half, yeah.
Totally manageable.
Take it with you.
I'm thinking I will. But I'm really enjoying knitting it. I seem to really like knitting on small needles, I'm noticing. But the reason I wanted to talk about this one is because I was inspired by somebody else's project in Ravelry, of course. And we talked about how I tripped over the yoke sweater of my dreams, which needs to be revisited when I have, you know, a calculator and I'm willing to do a little bit of math. But I saw JenCH1N, and I'll link to her project in our show notes, along with everything else we talk about today. And I saw hers, and I thought, that is beautiful, because it looks kind of bleh in the picture.
Yeah.
Right?
I wasn't impressed.
Hers is fitted, and it's fierce, and she didn't put the buttons in, but she has it open in the picture, and it's sharp.
Okay.
And it'll look...
sounds good.
Oh, it's going to look stunning on me.
Excellent.
So I'm really excited about knitting that, and... can I tell you how much I love Ravelry? Like, what was life before Ravelry?
It boggles the mind, doesn't it?
Doesn't
it?
It's like the conversation. Mom and I were in the car the other day, and this is not entirely related, but she was talking about remembering not having a phone, or when they got a phone growing up, which I don't even understand. So,
well, our neighbors, Fred and Wilma Flintstones, didn't have a phone either.
What else are you working on?
I'm working on the par 5 socks on and off, which is in Franklin's Panopticon from Lorna's Laces. And it has cables, and it sort of looks like a golf course.
Yeah, you mentioned that last week.
And I'm also working on the origami pullover from Infractory Alpaca. Mm-hmm. And that's a one-by-one knit.
Forever and ever
forever.
And ever.
Forever. And I've got 9 inches on the body of the sweater done.
How many pieces do you actually have to knit?
2 pieces.
Total?
The front is done.
Okay.
That was a small piece.
Oh.
And this is over 100 stitches. Mm-hmm. And knit one, purl one. And I think I'm going to go somewhere in between, but it's perfect for watching TV or hanging out with knitters or knitting when I don't want to pay attention to what I'm doing, but I still want something in my hands.
I think those projects are really cool. I need to actually have something more like that because I have a feeling that this sweater is going to get very interesting very quickly. So,
well, the origami one, I tried it on at Pearlescence. They mm-hmm. had a model, and it was stunning. Mm-hmm. But that's a product sweater, not a project one.
That happens sometimes.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah. I really like wearing my knits, though. I'm going to be honest with you. My favorite sweaters are my hand-knit ones, and mm-hmm. I love when I have covertly beautiful hand-knit sweaters. They're not covertly beautiful, but they're covertly hand-knit and beautiful sweaters.
You're saying they're looking so good, nobody would believe you made them?
I did. I had someone say, oh, you couldn't have made that to my Katarina. You couldn't have.
Huh.
So, my twist was pretty obvious that I made it, because I don't think commercial clothes come in retina searing green. But that's okay. So, oh, we should talk about how we're going to do a knit more along, another knit more along. So we'll be doing 2 concurrent knit more alongs. So last time I knit a sweater and Mom knit a sweater mm-hmm. at the same time, and you could do one or both or neither, whatever floats your boat. Mm-hmm. And this time we're going to announce it, I think, in 2 or 3 episodes. Mm-hmm. But just so it's percolating, we're going to have 2 socks going at once and 2 sweaters.
We are?
Yeah. We totally talked about this.
I guess we did.
So that's your little thing to keep your brains percolating and get all excited about. And the other thing I want to do you have more knitting to talk about?
No.
Okay. Then we can talk about a few other slightly related thingies. Mm-hmm. I bought a loom last week. We talked about that. And Erin, host of Brass Needles, she is borrowing a loom from a friend. So we're not going to talk about weaving on this podcast, specifically like on the regular Sunday Monday podcast. Mm-hmm. We're going to do director's cuts to talk about weaving if we get really into it. So we're branching out a little bit, but not letting it kind of spill into here yet because we're not there yet.
I still think you should title the weaving segments The Emperor's New Clothes.
Quite possibly we could do that. And then the other thing I wanted to mention that was kind of related was mm-hmm. this week I got my anniversary gift in the mail. Now our anniversary is in August. So the order was placed a while ago, which is okay. And Andrew had ordered from Jenny the Potter for me because I had handed him the website and said, I kind of want one of everything and I can't decide. So here you go.
We saw her stuff at Sock Summit.
There were so many.
It was stunning.
It is. And it's well made and she does everything by hand and they're microwavable and machine washable. Dishwasher safe. Wow. Such a knitter. And the box came in the mail, and Andrew got me one of everything. Not really one of everything, but I got the little saucy bowl, and I got the spinning bowl, and I got 2 mugs. I got a knitting mug and a spinning mug, and he picked colors for all of them. And I have to say, I'm so touched. And Andrew told me he ordered the bowl so that I didn't have to spin out of the plastic kitchen bowls. Mm-hmm. And the mugs, because I love mugs. Mm-hmm. And I have been using only those 2 mugs all week because every time I use them, they're a good size for my morning bucket of coffee. Mm-hmm. And they're sturdy and they've got a good weight and they keep your stuff warm and they're so pretty. So I'm so excited. If you get a chance, go take a look at her stuff. And I'm going to add this to the list of gifts for knitters. And we're going to do a Mother Knows Best closer to the holidays where we're going to talk about gifts for knitters because these are like, so great.
They make your heart sing.
They make my heart sing. And every time, like, I go and look at her website, or I did go and look at her website, like, once a month. Mm-hmm. with the intention of ordering something, and then I just get overwhelmed and be like, I can't do this because I couldn't pick a color. Each. Well, yeah, exactly. And so they're not super cheap, but they're also not super expensive.
They're made in the U.S.
Yep.
Handmade quality merchandise.
Yeah. And they're lovely. I mean, you can tell that a lot of thought and a lot of care and a lot of time have gone into these. So I'm really excited. And I wanted to share that with you and also kind of brag that I have possibly the best husband ever. So.
But we knew that.
But we knew that. So there you are. Let's move on to the next segment. So, events, why don't we kick it off with a one-minute mom health update and then go from there.
So, we have a date. October 20th, I'm going to have surgery.
Hooray!
Yes. And what they're going to do, they're going to repair my aortic ventricle, mm-hmm. the one on the right, and put a new O-ring in it.
Okay.
And do some zapping. Mm-hmm. And tighten stuff up, and then they're going to do the other side, the left side, and take out the valve and put a mechanical valve in it.
Bionic mom.
Yes. And that should last forever and ever. So I'll be bigger and better and faster than before. Faster than a speeding bullet.
The more important thing is how fast will you knit when you're done?
We have to time me before and after.
We will. We have to be scientific about these things. So that means?
I won't be going to Rhinebeck.
Okay.
And I'm terribly disappointed because I so wanted to go. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to enjoy it vicariously mm-hmm. because I'm sending you.
Okay.
And you're going to send updates.
We're going to do Rhinebeck field updates just like we did for Sock Summit, where we post on the blog every day, the show mm-hmm. notes blog. And we'll tell you what we're doing and what we've seen and what a great time we're having. So,
and who are we taking with?
So originally Megan from Stitch It was going to accompany mom and me. Mm-hmm. And since mom couldn't go, that means we had one spare spot in our room. So I thought, and mom agreed with me, that totally. We should invite Jackie, who is Pink Tibber on Unravelry and also the charming hostess of
Kipping It Real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or as mom likes to call it, her Paisley's co-host.
Because the dog.
Paisley's the dog. Mom is as charmed with her as I am. So I pinged Jackie on Ravelry with a, hey, seriously, you want to come to Rhinebeck? I looked at what flights out of St. Louis cost, and they're totally reasonable. We got a great deal on our room, a great deal on our car. You have to come. No time like the present. So Jackie is joining us.
Good, because I think you need all the support you can get.
Yeah, and I think we'll have a good time.
I'm kind of worried about sending you without me.
It's okay. We'll be mostly good. So the dates on Rhinebeck are October 17th and 18th. We'll be doing our meet and greet Saturday afternoon in the Carolina Homespun booth. I'm going to get that time worked out. Please check the Ravelry group. I will update the Rhinebeck thread with the specifics, and you can check that out. I want to make sure we're not overlapping with the fleece auction or the fleece sale, because clearly I know Megan and I will want to buy fleeces, and I'm pretty sure Jackie might want one as well. So, and it would be kind of half-hearted to have our eyes kind of
craning that away while you're at Rhinebeck.
Doing the meet and greet. So I'll put the times up for that, and that'll be good. And we're going to do, so basically mom's going in for surgery the day after I get back. So please think your positive thoughts, because you know what? This is going to be great. Do you want to talk about how we're going to be podcasting while you're in recovery?
Okay, so having a wobbly voice really isn't attractive. Mm-hmm. But we still want to put out a regular podcast. That's really important to me. Mm-hmm. And my recovery time is set at a week, give or take a couple of days.
Okay.
And if I'm not up to it, I think I might be lounging on the couch while Jasmine will do the show with a co-host.
Somebody, who you're going to pick, yeah.
Yes, a co-host of my choice.
Exactly. So we're going to do our best to keep you guys regular and make sure you're not without your weekly podcast. So let's move on to announcing the winners of our contest. But first, a quick word from our sponsors.
Things are crazy here at Pearlescence Yarns. Zauberball crazy, that is. We're pleased to announce the arrival of Citroën's latest sock yarn. The wool nylon blend comes in a 100-gram, 420-meter ball. Check out Sababal and our other Citroën sock yarn on our shelves now.
So let's talk about the winners of our Help Us Pick contest. We have a number of winners because we had a whole stack of goodies to give away. So let me talk about what we've got to give away first, and then we'll announce the winners.
Okay.
Right? Because you save the best for last. So Melinda over at Tess Yarns, and she is Tess Yarns. Tess is her daughter. And I gave her a call, and she sent us a huge bag of gorgeous stuff. So half the prizes are her stunning sock yarns, and there's some of her Peruvian socks, some of her regular sock yarn, and some that's got silk in it,
mm-hmm.
which is just stunning, and some of the microfiber ribbon we talk about that we like so much.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the prizes, and we've got a whole bunch of different colors, and we're going to try to approximate, based on your Ravelry stuff, which ones you like. So mm-hmm. let's talk about... Oh, and we're going to run the contests. We got, I think, 11 ideas.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to run one a month starting in January.
Mm-hmm.
Start at the beginning of the month, end at the end of the month, right?
Very good.
And we loved your suggestions. Mom?
Yeah, there were 11 outstanding suggestions.
Mm-hmm.
And we hadn't really planned on doing this many contests, did we?
Oh, but we'll do them. We'll do them.
I'm sure we do.
So why don't you go through and talk about the contest ideas we liked and the winners.
Mm-hmm.
And if the winners would, I'll send you an email on Ravelry letting you know you've won. But there you go.
Yes. So in no random order, just the way they were submitted,
mm-hmm.
Most welcomed gift stories.
We love that. And whose suggestion was that?
Mama on the Run.
I like it.
I like it, and it's positive.
It is positive.
Mm-hmm. Keeping on a positive note, the next submission that we liked was Best Local Yarn Store Customer Service Story.
Wonderful. Stories,
mm-hmm, by Crafty Girl 83. And another one that we really, really liked was Project Runway Inspired Knitting by Mama Q.
Terrific.
Mm-hmm.
I think that should be in sync with the next season.
Brilliant.
Ah.
And something that's near and dear to my heart, historical knitting trivia. Well, I like old stuff.
Who doesn't?
And sometimes it seems that I was actually there when this medieval stuff happened.
That's
so,
okay. Whose suggestion was that?
Molly.
Terrific.
And another one that we really liked was submitted by Betsy Wetsy.
Mm-hmm.
Knitting for the Pope. Take your most prized yarn and knit something special. And I think that is just excellent.
It is. And we're going to do variations on these, but these are the basic ideas that inspire kind mm-hmm. of more general things. So
then Kita suggested a finish along of UFOs.
I like it.
I like it too. And Llama Lady suggested an all-night knit-a-thon.
Now, we thought this would be more fun to do with other people.
Mm-hmm.
So we're probably going to arrange a couple of evenings the month we run this contest and have the Ravelry chat open
mm-hmm.
and do like a virtual knitting group.
Yes.
So I think that's a great idea. Mom and I got really excited about that.
And all-night probably means till midnight.
At the latest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, another suggestion by Molly that we really liked was repurposing something to use as a tool for knitting.
Mm-hmm.
So, like taking paper clips and turning them into stitch markers, cable needles or stitch markers.
Or that.
Something like that. Zweckentfremdung, as they say in Germany.
Yeah.
Using something and repurposing it.
I like it.
And Strap Hanging suggested parody song lyrics with a fiber theme.
I like it.
I loved that one too. And
these are our winners, of course. We're only announcing the winners. We had a lot of winners because we have a lot of contests to run. So mm-hmm. if you've been mentioned, you have won. So keep reading. Come on, Mom.
Best organizational or time-saving tip
mm-hmm.
from Good Stuff.
I like it.
Also, honorable mention to strap hanging for absolutely the strangest contest suggestions. We loved his limericks in ancient languages mm-hmm. and languages we don't speak.
Perfect.
And the Greek we couldn't even read.
Is that them all?
No.
Oh.
We also have the Do Some Good contest.
Yep.
But that's going on.
We're going to launch the Do Some Good in November like we did last year. Mm-hmm. So that's going to run from, let's call it my birthday, until the 12th day of Christmas, which is January 6th. So it's the Sunday before Thanksgiving, I think, is my birthday this year, which is the 23rd of November. And we'll run it through, because that way you have a little bit of time before and after the holidays. So
yeah, I like to do it after Christmas when people are done with the holiday excitement.
Yep.
And we can do something good for other people as well.
Exactly.
Excellent. Okay.
Terrific. So those are the winners of our Help Us Find a Contest. And thank you so much for submitting. We had such a good time reading through these and seeing what kind of ideas you guys had. So thanks a million.
This week on Mother Knows Best, we're going to talk about button bands. So we said that a button band is really a good idea on a cardigan because it helps support the weight of the buttons and it will keep the button bands from being all pokey. Is that what you would call it?
Well, I mean, that's if you have a
zipper. Pokey buttons.
Well, they droop and they sag, which is
unattractive
and depressing. Yes. Makes your sweater frown.
So we went to the fabric store, and for the twisted, we picked ribbon that coordinated.
The tangled yoke cardigan.
Sorry, the tangled yoked cardigan. We picked buttons that, the grosgrain ribbon that coordinated with the color of the knitting. Mm-hmm. This was Jasmine's handspun. Mm-hmm. In a very dark gray, mm-hmm. and the closest thing we could find was a narrow black ribbon.
Because, remember, the button band on that sweater is not very wide either, so.
No. Usually I like the grosgrain ribbon to be just a hair short of the width of the button band. Didn't happen, but that's okay, too. Now, for the
Ariane,
we found ribbon that was 7/8 of an inch wide. Mm-hmm. But since this is the Butter Peeps is a kind of wavy color.
It's definitely variegated, but there is, the spots are peachy and orange and
mm-hmm.
just kind of cheerful colors.
It's very cheerful. And we tried coordinating and that didn't really happen. The coordinating stuff was just blah. So we found this pumpkin colored. Burnt pumpkin?
Yeah, it's the same color as the buttons.
That it is. So the burnt pumpkin color will look nice on the inside of the cardigan. Mm-hmm. And I really like it when the inside of your work looks stunning.
Mom is notorious for putting super fun linings in your clothes. It's something that you get to privately enjoy. And it flashes occasionally, like if your cardigan opens, mm-hmm. people will see a little bit of fun. Button band support.
Yes. And what color buttons did you pick for the backing?
Just clear ones.
Yeah, you could have picked fun backing buttons, but...
I could, but the reason I didn't was because I like to buy my backing buttons when Beverly's has them on sale. Because mm-hmm. they have those strips of the clear buttons, mm-hmm. and I got them, I think, half off. So I bought a whole stack of the size that I like to use, and I just hold on to them for when I'm ready to use them because I never have time to go out when I'm finishing a sweater and go get backing buttons. I find that that's when I have the least amount of time is when I don't have stuff already at home.
Right.
So
the way I like to attach a button band is pin it on Jasmine, not into her, but pin it while she's wearing it. So it has the right amount of
the way it's going to drape and hang.
Right. Because you don't want it to pucker.
When you're wearing it.
When you're wearing it. You don't want it to be too tight. You want it to be exactly flowing the way the cardigan flows.
So you'd recommend they pin it onto a dress form if they don't have their very own live and kicking pincushion.
Or get a friend to pin it for you.
Good plan.
And cut it a couple of inches longer on each end. And there's a reason for that.
Okay. So what's the reason?
I'm getting to it.
Oh, sorry. I'm all excited.
Yes. So I started at the bottom of the button band, maybe 2 or 3 inches from the very bottom. And I sewed it up by hand with a thread that matches your cardigan. And if you have beeswax, that would be really good. So beeswax is available from your regular Notions buying store. So anywhere that you would buy buttons, you would also find beeswax, and it shouldn't be more than a buck or two.
Okay.
For a rand of beeswax. And what you do is you run your thread through the beeswax, and it coats it. It gives it a little bit more substance, and it makes it easier to sew because waxed thread doesn't tangle as easily as regular thread. Yeah, so that's really good. So I was whip stitching it with tiny invisible stitches just past the edge of the ribbon onto your cardigan. And every 3-4 stitches, I would put in
a... Stitches or inches?
Inches.
Sorry, she made a hand gesture and I went, that's not 3-4 stitches.
Thank you for catching that.
Every 3 or 4 inches?
You make a knot. So if accidentally it catches on something, which it won't, but just for insurance, every couple of inches you make a knot. So if it catches on something and your sewing comes undone, you have to only fix a 3-4 inch
section
and not the whole. So you don't have to worry about it coming apart like it would be chain sewn on ready to wear, where you tuck out a thread and your whole garment falls apart. That's what they do in the movies.
I know.
So I sewed all the way, well, almost all the way to the top. And then I looked at how much I had left over that was hanging over on the ribbon. And I marked the turning point with a pin where I wanted it to fold and tucked it under.
Okay.
And then sewed around the top and down the other side. And then when I got to the bottom, I marked it again with a pin and was going to fold it under. And it was a little bit too long. And that's okay, too, because I had, I don't know, 2.5 inches and really could only fold under 2 inches. So I snipped it.
And better to have too much than not enough.
Exactly. If it's too long, you can cut it.
Exactly.
So, and I sewed on the bottom end and secured the tail of the thread, and ta-da!
Yay!
So, what remains to be done is sewing on the buttons and the backing buttons with a nice shank.
Yep.
Now, for your Ariane, the buttons are really big.
They're enormous.
Are you going to make enormous buttonholes and use them to button? Or are you going to make small buttonholes and use your backing buttons to take care of the buttons?
So I'm going to use the enormous buttons as the buttons because on the Ariane unit, the buttonholes as you go, which I'm not a fan of. If I was going to knit this again, though I do like Bonmarie's techniques and I think she's really smart, I would have knit the front pieces and then picked up and done the button bands last and done them a la Horst Schultz, where you attach it to your knitting as you go up. So it's not a technique I'm a big fan of because the 3-stitch buttonholes are just enormous. So I might actually go in there with a needle and some leftover yarn and just tighten them up just a little bit.
Excellent.
So, but yeah, for future reference, I won't be doing that again. Like, I can do it my way better, I think. Of course, I say this every time, and this is why we have When Knitting Attacks, right? So, yeah. So the buttons are going to be actual buttons because the buttonholes are pretty big.
Okay.
So there we go.
Very good.
And we'll be launching the video for the couture buttonhole or the couture button with the shank and the backing button when I actually sew the buttons on my Tangled Up Cardigan. So look forward to that. And I will put a note up in the Ravelry group when it's gone live. And now a quick word from our sponsors.
Did you know Abstract Fibers has a Ravelry group? Absolutely Abstract is the place to go to meet our staff and see what other Ravelers are doing with their Abstract Fiber. We'd love to meet you online and see pictures of your projects. Absolutely Abstract is also a great place to ask questions, find out where we'll be next, and keeping up with what's new.
It's When Knitting Attacks!
Well, my knitting has been startlingly well-behaved this week. What have you got?
I haven't had any problems with my knitting. The only problem I had was when I was sewing knitting bags for you.
Mm-hmm.
And after purring along for half an hour or so, the machine seized and I had a rat's nest and it says, I'm done for today, which was okay too. I still had two nice knitting bags to bring over for you.
Yay!
So, yeah, it was minor.
That's it?
Yeah.
Sweet. On mm-hmm. to the next segment.
Excellent.
So this week we're going to be reviewing Reversible Knitting, 50 brand new groundbreaking stitch patterns. Lynn Barr did the
compilation
mm-hmm. and it's got a lot of designer contributions, which are pretty cool. And we'll talk about the patterns they contributed next. But the nice people at Stuart Tabori and Chang sent us a stack of books to review, and this is one of them. So it retails for $29.95 US and $38.95 Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice, heavy, sturdy book.
Mm-hmm.
So when we were working at the yarn shop, I used to guess how much books cost based on their weight. So they used a good paper and a nice, sturdy cover. But it's a fun game. So let's start with Mom and I made a pros and cons list, and then we're going to talk about the garments. So do you want to start with your things that you liked?
Yeah. I like the multi-directional knitting.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. It's an interesting approach.
I said that as well.
And what I also like is that in the book, they show the back of the knitting.
Yeah.
Have they done that anywhere else?
I don't think so. But you know what? When you're doing super textured knitting, mm-hmm. I think it's really cool to show what the back is going to look like.
Yeah. And if you're not sure if you're doing it right,
it's a really good way of making sure.
Mm-hmm.
I also like that it wasn't all very basic. I like that it was somewhat challenging. This is not a book I would recommend for beginners necessarily.
No.
So I liked a lot of the ideas. I thought they were really interesting and good.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, what else did you like? Because the rest of mine are about garments.
I found it interesting that it was a totally new look and a really new approach to deal with texture.
Yeah.
That was very impressive.
It is.
And there was also some knitting that was actually three-dimensional.
Yeah.
So it wasn't flat.
And it was more than just bobbles and cables. I mean, it was really interesting.
Yeah.
And I keep saying interesting, 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 but here's where my con list shows up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's mostly not pretty. And I'm not saying this in a bad way because...
What isn't pretty?
The swatches. And it's not... If I saw an execution of it, it might be pretty. But you know how in Project Runway they do stuff that's really cool but not necessarily pretty?
Okay.
And there's always a designer who says, I don't do pretty. And I get that. And this is just very, I want to call it conceptual. Does that make sense? The other thing that I have kind of on a negative is that I didn't like the faux crochet section. I actually wrote why in my notes.
I have that as a don't like either.
Yeah.
I understand that people seem to the need to take sides.
Mm-hmm.
But
here on the Knit More Girls, we do both.
We do a lot of things.
Yeah.
And there's no reason to only do one and knitting so it looks like crochet.
It just seems like, why would you do that? Why would you make it harder on yourself?
So crochet already.
Yeah. So that was not so. I like that they did it in the event that you actually do have some sort of like disconnect and you really can't crochet. I know that there's people who just can't. And just like there's people who just can't play the piano or just can't read sheet music, I will accept that there are some people who just can't crochet. But So I think it's useful for that. But for everyone else, it's just like, why would you do that? Just pick up a hook and learn.
Mm-hmm.
So was there anything else on your list that you didn't like before we go into talking about the garments?
Yeah. The color of swatches to the background didn't work for me. The work is very well executed.
Mm-hmm.
But the colors they picked for the swatch yarn, while the handspun was lovely.
It might be handspun. It looked a bit more rustic than commercial.
I didn't particularly care for the gray tone of it. And then it was put on different colored backgrounds that didn't do the swatch justice.
It was a bit distracting, yeah.
And none of it was delicious.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all kind of color combinations of swatch and background that didn't flatter the knitting.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking if they ever republish it, if they redo their swatches with a better background, it'll improve it drastically. So the work is fine. It's stellar.
Execution.
Execution of knitting patterns.
It's just an aesthetic issue with the delivery.
Yeah.
So the layout of the book, I also wanted to mention, I really like that they have swatches up front and garments in the back.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a really cool idea. I like that they said, okay, here's the idea, and then here's some uses. I think that's a really nice way of doing a book, especially with such a different approach.
Totally.
So Mom handed me the book because we're doing this kindergarten teacher style. We have some notes about the garments, but it's better to look at them while you're talking about them. Mm-hmm. So there's a folded scarf that I didn't care for and Mom didn't really care for.
Nope.
It looks like a bit of anatomy, and that's as far as I'm going to say with that. If you flip through it, you will see it as well, probably.
Mm-hmm.
The branching rib scarf is interesting. It's what I worry about with some of this stuff is that it doesn't look intentional, if that makes sense. The intent of cool ideas and cool knitting isn't necessarily – it can look handmade by loving hands at home instead of couture.
I think this is really interesting, and it reminded me of the tree your fifth grade teacher had in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
Where it was a tree, and when you learned about geometry.
It was the geomet tree, yeah.
And when you learned about poetry.
It was the poet tree.
And I'm thinking, well,
I think in a brown, this would be really cool, and you could embellish it seasonally. But that might be a little bit
over the top.
Or crafty, in the glue gun way.
Yeah.
The two-tone vest.
Okay, we both hated it.
Let me tell you what's wrong with this. I'm really sorry to say this. Because the description of this is, embrace your eccentric side by wearing this vest with a cutout side in front. For a more conservative but very flattering empire style, wear the opposite side to the front. So that's what they've written for this piece. And while the front is perfectly fine and perfectly
modest,
you flip it to the next page. And the model's wearing a t-shirt under it, and there is effectively a strap that goes across the bust, and then a triangle pointing towards her belly button that is
open. It's a cutout.
Yeah. And it looks both unflattering, a bit crafty in the bad way.
Disreputable.
And disreputable. I was trying to think of a nice way of saying that. So I'm pretty much as eccentric as they come, I think. I might not be as eccentric as most, or as some, but I am fairly eccentric, and I wouldn't be caught dead wearing that in front.
There is the bottom half of her bosom.
Would be hanging out. If she wasn't wearing a t-shirt under it. And I don't know. I have nothing else nice to say, so I will stop talking about it.
Yeah, it looks like one of those dresses where the bra strap is hanging out.
Okay. Well, that's one of several garments that we didn't really care for in the book.
Mm-hmm.
But there are quite a few that I really did like.
Yes.
So let's move on to those. Do you want to say what the first one is that you liked? Do you have that written down?
Yeah. It's Investments by Kat Bordy.
Okay.
And there are two pieces, different colors. And you either wear one off the shoulder, or you wear both together.
As a vest.
As a vest, and I really like this style. It looks asymmetrical. Mm-hmm. And it's just very cutting edge.
It's very fashion forward. Yes. Though I don't like the use of garter stitch, but it lends itself to a lot of interesting stuff. So I might have to just get over my...
But I do like garter stitch.
You do.
So this would be perfect for me. Red and black?
Mm-hmm. That'd be cool. I don't think I'd wear it one-sided, though.
No.
I think if I need something to keep me warm, I'm going to need it on both shoulders.
Exactly. But so it's an option.
Okay.
And I really liked it.
What was the next one?
Next thing you... Oh, the next thing that I was really impressed with was Lily Chin's faux wrap pullover.
Oh, don't go there yet. I'm ahead of you.
Oh.
I really like the geometric dress. If I got the body to wear a knit dress along with it, that would be even better. But I really like how the color is done. It looks really cool. Like, I would wear this to work with a cardigan over it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's kind of hip with some cute shoes. But I'm not quite built for a knit dress.
Okay. Any kind of knit you wear from the waist down needs to have a slip under it.
Well, of course. You always wear a slip under your skirts anyway, so...
Well, it'll keep it from clinging in the wrong spaces. Now, look at the inside. Mm-hmm. It's a reversible dress. So what does the inside look like?
Oh, I don't like the inside as well. It looks a little too textured for me. This is something I would admire, but I don't think I would knit, but I really, really like it.
Okay.
Because I was flipping through it and I really liked it. Let me flip two.
Mini dress?
Mm-hmm. It's got too much going on for me.
It has way too much going on, and... I think that might be really good for somebody who has skinny legs, but for me,
it has
too much texture on the hips, on the thighs, and on the backside. And I really don't need to have any more attention drawn
there.
There.
So another one I liked, but again, I would like a variation on, is the winding path, which is... a sweater you can wear upside down and right side up.
That's what it was. I didn't catch that.
I had to look at both pages to get it. So it's so well done that you can do it either way. However, it's knit out of a crazy chunky yarn. So I would like it better if it was not in such a chunky yarn.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if it would be effective. So in the pictures, one has a white collar and the other one has a black collar, which is how I figured it out. So I really like it.
Okay, I didn't catch that. I didn't pay enough attention.
It's okay. I was wondering what made it reversible. And there are a couple of sweaters that you can do this with where it looks pretty cool. And this reminds me of last year at Stitches West. I think it was the Corsica sweater by Margaret Sage that was paraded down the runway at the fashion show upside down on the model. And it still looked really, really good. So.
Oops.
Yeah, right?
Uh-huh.
So the one that we both liked
is
by Lily Chin. It's the faux wrap sweater. And... if you ask me, Lily Chin is like the person who started doing reversible cables, or at least she was the person teaching it and doing patterns for it. And I can't think of anyone else who's been doing it.
Did you take her class way back
Not in reversible cables.
I did.
Oh, fancy.
Amazing. The woman is an absolute genius. And if you ever have an opportunity to take a class from her, do so. She is very dynamic. She is an excellent teacher, and she has loads and loads of models that she brings to class to illustrate what she's teaching.
So she does.
Stellar teacher, stellar classes.
What I like the most about this sweater is that it is both classic and fashion forward, which is really, really hard to do. So if you look at it, it's a classic. It looks like a wrap sweater, but it's not. So if you happen to have a small waist and some curves, this would be a really good look for you because it's got shaping the waist. It's got horizontal cables going around the hippie part, which is really cute, and a really interesting, like, standing Mandarin-style collar. And I don't know if I like the ties or not, but I like the rest of it.
I think this is a style that we both could wear.
I actually might knit this one. This is something I could actually see myself wearing. So I just have to find the right yarn for it. But this got me so excited. And I thought, of course Lily Chin designed this one. You know, it's so brilliant and lovely and Just so cool, and I like that.
Totally.
So... Oh, and you can flip the collar down. I hadn't even noticed that.
Yeah, I think I would wear it with the collar down.
I'd go either way, because it's pretty cool. So let me flip to the last one that I really liked, which was the Reverse Me cardigan by Nora Gahn. Now, Nora is a genius. We all know this. Her stuff is always interesting, always... The construction's always cool. The one thing, I don't knit for reversibility as far as my sweaters are concerned, generally. So... Overall, I just like this to be an open, hangy, open cardigan thing, and I'm not so concerned with, you know, the inside-outness. But you can wear it upside down, too, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I thought that was just amazing.
And this is just a big drapey cardigan with cables all over it, so for you people who are not flipping through the book along with us. So it's really interesting. It's really fun. I might knit that one as well, but I'm not as excited about that one as I was about the Lily Chin one.
Mm-hmm.
And then as my Barbie... Dream Hope Chest sweater. I think I would like to knit the Lice Jacket by Veronica Avery.
That is also stunning. It's classic. It's elegant. And the execution is marvelous. I really liked it.
And all those things make it trademark Veronica Avery. Yeah. I've never actually knit one of her sweaters, so I think that's going to be one of my 2010 goals, to knit one of her sweaters or 10 of her sweaters. Because... You look at this and you think, this is a classic, like, Scandinavian-style knit, right? They did the Scandinavian, right? Oh, I hope I'm not just attributing their knitting to some other place. But you look at it, and it's just beautiful. And I haven't tried double knitting when I wasn't sick, so I don't know if I can do it or not. Because the last time I tried, I was sick as two dogs, and I couldn't get it. But I look at this, and I see so much potential. And this is really pretty. And while she uses classic colors like gray and burgundy, I'm thinking lime green and purple, lime green and blue, yellow and something, you know, something really fun and cheerful. So overall impressions of the book. What did you think?
I liked it.
I liked it as well. If you're a designer, I think you could get a lot out of working with this. Or if you're an aspiring designer or an inquisitive knitter, like someone who likes to bend what they can do and try new things, if you're an adventurous knitter.
Well, the Veronique Avery is classic.
It is.
I think Tim Gunn would exclaim over it.
I think he would.
And the Nora Gahn,
he
would like as well, and it's very fashion forward.
It is.
And there's stuff that I like, so we have the age range there.
Yeah, because we went through this book and Mom and I both found a few things we really liked, which I have to say is really a good thing. It's a sign of a good book. This is not something I would tell everyone to go out, you have to get your hands on it now. This isn't one of those books. However, I would say, and I don't know if you agree with me on this, that you should pick it up and flip through it.
Totally.
If it captures your heart, there you go. So I really, really like this one.
Same here.
Terrific. So there you go. Our fair and balanced review of Reversible Knitting by Lynn Barr. Alrighty, this week's Straw into Gold is going to be a bit short, but I'm going to tell a story. All I've been spinning this week is Duchess, the beautiful silver fleece from Boonville. And that's a Jean Near fleece, and I'll link to her in the show notes. But the bigger thing is that I found my Orifice hook, and the Orifice hook has a story. When I first started spinning again in November of 2006, or in October of 2006, I was using unbent paper clips as an orifice hook because when we took spinning, the teacher taught us a MacGyver trick in case you lose them, because orifice hooks are incredibly losable if they're not pretty. So Andrew looked at me using paper clips and he said, are you supposed to be using paper clips? And I said, oh no, they have orifice hooks, but I don't know where mine is, because I never knew where mine was before. And my birthday was like a month and a half later, so he went online and found me the most beautiful handmade silver orifice hook from the Celtic Swan, and I'll link to them in the show notes. And for my birthday, he got me both the beautiful orifice hook and a pinacular style, pinacular? Is that how you say it? Shawl pin. Romy makes beautiful ones as well. But he'd gotten me the shawl pin because I'd complained that I didn't have any shawl pins at one point and was looking for one, and the hook. So it was kind of one functional and beautiful piece and one just beautiful piece. And last year, I thought I lost the orifice hook. And I looked everywhere. And I turned the house upside down. And it went from living on the Ashford Traveler that I used to have that I gave away to live with my Victoria, which doesn't have a special place to hang the orifice hook on. So I looked everywhere. I looked everywhere. I looked everywhere. I turned the entire house upside down and I couldn't find it. And I was heartbroken and I didn't say anything for 6 months because I thought, what a horrible person I am. Like, he went out and he found this beautiful thing and, you know, and I was really beating myself up over it. And Mom came over and said, well, you don't lose things. I'm sure it's here somewhere. And I looked around and I was like, I must have dropped it when I was out spinning somewhere. It must have just gotten dropped because if someone had found it, they would have said something because everyone knows that Andrew had given me this beautiful hook. So 2 nights ago, I went and I ordered a new one like 3 months ago from Celtic Swan and it came in the mail and it's really pretty. And Andrew said, oh, I actually like that one better than the one that I got you. Isn't that nice? And I thought to myself, oh, just what a pity that I lost the first one. So 2 nights ago, we were pulling up the carpet in the living room because Andrew decided that he hates it, which is good because I also am not a big fan. So, but it was his family's rug. So we pulled it up and I told him, oh, we'll just get one of my parents' rugs and throw it down here because Mom had offered me one of the rugs from their house. So as we're pulling up the ugly carpet, out pops my beautiful silver orifice hook. Somehow it had gotten lodged underneath both the carpet and the carpet slidey thingy. Yeah, the carpet pad. And there it was. So I didn't lose it and I have my favorite orifice hook back. And now I have another pretty one that's just, I need to find a place to put it. But I'm so, so happy. And I will link to the beautiful Celtic Swan hooks in the show notes. This week we'd like to thank show sponsors Pearlescence Yarns, Abstract Fiber, our supporters, and most importantly, you, our listeners. Everything we've talked about in this week's episode can be found at the show notes, which are located at knitmoregirls.blogspot.com, and you can send your comments, questions, and feedback to us at knitmoregirls@yahoo.com. Please remember to come to our meet and greet at Rhinebeck. We look forward to meeting you. And if you haven't already joined our Ravelry group, please do. It's linked through the show notes. Remember, this is Jasmine
and Gigi
telling you to knit more.